Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The verse is which? 31? 30.
Yeah, last time you gave it there.
Okay, well, but the Sahota Maharaj gave after me. So, 29:30 was done, so we'll do 30, 31. 29:30, so 31 now. Kusha kasha bayam bar here.
Kusha kasha bayam bar
here. Astirya Bhagavan Manuhu.
Astirya Bhagavan Manuhu.
Ayajad yagya purusham.
Ayajad yagya purusham.
Labdhastanam yato bhuvam. Kusha kasha mayam barhir.
Kusha kasha mayam barhir.
Astirya Bhagavan Manuhu.
Astirya Bhagavan Manuhu.
Ayajad yagya purusham.
Ayajad yagya purusham.
Labdhastanam yato bhuvam. Of Kusha grass. Kasha. Okay, go ahead, stop. And of Kasha grass. Mayab. Made. Barhihi. A seat. Astirya.
Having spread.
Bhagavad. The greatly fortunate Manuhu, Swayam Bhuva Manu, Ayajat, worshipped Yajna Purusham, Lord Vishnu, Labda, had achieved Stanam, the abode. Yataha, from whom? Bhuvam, the earth. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Manu spread a seat of Kushas and Kashas and worshiped the Lord, the personality of Godhead, by whose grace he had obtained the rule of the terrestrial globe. Purport. Manu is the father of mankind, and therefore from Manu comes the word man, or in Sanskrit, manushya. Those who are in a better position in this world, having sufficient wealth, should especially take lessons from Manu, who acknowledged his kingdom and opulence to be gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus always engaged in devotional service. Similarly, the descendants of Manu, or human beings, especially those who are situated in a well-to-do condition, must consider that whatever riches they have are gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those riches should be utilized for the service of the Lord in sacrifices performed to please Him. That is the way of utilizing wealth and opulence. No one can achieve wealth, opulence, good birth, a beautiful body, or nice education without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, those who are in possession of such valuable facilities must acknowledge their gratefulness to the Lord by worshipping Him and offering whatever they have received from Him. When such acknowledgement is given, either by a family, nation, or society, their abode becomes almost like Vaikuntha, and it becomes free from the operation of the threefold miseries of life, miseries of this material world. In the modern age, the mission of Krishna consciousness is for everyone to acknowledge the supremacy of Lord Krishna. Whatever one has in his possession must be considered a gift by the grace of the Lord. Everyone, therefore, should engage in devotional service through Krishna consciousness. If one wants to be happy and peaceful in his position, either as a householder or citizen or member of human society, one must promote devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord. This is the social philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not necessary to renounce everything. In fact, you cannot renounce what you don't own. So everything is the property of God. It's a false concept of renunciation to just give up all contact with everything of this world. Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubi parityago palguvairagyam uchyate. Those impersonalists and other persons with a more or less impersonal outlook on spiritual life who think that everything of this world is material, therefore contemptible, and to be avoided and rejected, what they're doing, the mistake they're making, is that they don't understand that everything of this world is the property of Krishna. And when properly utilized, they can serve the pleasure of Krishna, everything in this world, everything and every person. So you reject the people, the things that belong to Krishna, that you're supposed to use for Krishna's pleasure, that's inferior, palgur vairagya, inferior renunciation. So Manu is a practitioner of the Vaishnava principle of renunciation. He had two sons, Uttanapada, Priyavrata. His second son, Priyavrata, was a great renunciant. In fact, although it was necessary that he should assume the role of Manu, I think he became the third Manu, right? No, Manu, Uttanapada didn't become Manu. Priyavrata became Manu. So Priyavrata was supposed to accept the role, but he didn't want to. He wanted to stay in the forest and live a renounced life. Lord Brahma himself had to come and preach to him that it was more appropriate, more proper, to accept the things of this world for the service of the Lord, to accept his responsibility in the service of the Lord. The impersonalists, by negating everything, have nothing to use for Krishna. They have no desire to serve Krishna. So Manu's position is exalted, and the position of an impersonalist or renunciant who has also renounced the things that should be used for Krishna is inferior. We have in our original position in the spiritual world incredible opulence, infinite opulence. Sarshti is one of the liberations, one of the mystic potencies of life in Vaikuntha, that you can share equal power and opulence with the Supreme Lord himself. There's a limitation on it. Jagad vyapara varjam. Usually the living entities, the servants of the Supreme Lord, Narayana, cannot create their own universe, cannot create whole universes. They're not God, even in the sense of being a ruler of a whole universe. Of course, exceptions are there. Some living entities become Brahma, and they do create a universe, but only in a secondary role. And they rule the universe, but only as a servant of the Supreme Lord. But no living entity, no finite living entity, takes an independent position of creating his own world and being without subordination to the supreme authority, the Lord of creation. But lesser than that, the residents of Vaikuntha have whatever they want. They have access to unlimited power and unlimited wealth and riches, opulences. We always have restriction. We struggle to gain material assets. We earn money. We conquer kingdoms in order to have vibhuti, opulence, power. It's a struggle. And it's always, you can only gain a limited amount of such assets, and you can only hold on to it for a short time, at best the duration of your life. And the kshatriyas who have to fight for a kingdom, their lives generally are not very long. People who go to battle often generally don't live statistically so long. And so those kshatriyas who get a lot of opulence, they can't keep it for very long. Many of them die young in battle. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. So that's a material situation. Our opulence is limited by how much you can have and how long you can keep it. But in Vaikuntha, everyone, not just those who can conquer others, those who can be better than everyone else, but the average citizen of Vaikuntha has access to as much opulence and as much power eternally, as much as he wants, and it's his domain over his personal opulence is eternal, perpetual. Every person in Vaikuntha, that means all of us, in our original condition, had unlimited power and opulence. But we gave that up when we came to the material world. We were deprived of that. So it's not necessarily so that a living entity is supposed to be without any possessions. And that to become spiritual, to become saintly, you have to live in extreme poverty and deprivation. It doesn't have to be like that. As a matter of tapasya, for purification, taking some difficulty for purification, one may voluntarily accept poverty. Or by a living entity's Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Gurdi, Jai Shri Gurdi Tai, Shri Krishna Balaram, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. By his karma, a living entity may involuntarily be put into a poverty-stricken condition. Either way, voluntarily or involuntarily, that may be the condition of a devotee, that he has no opulence or very limited opulence. Or, alternatively, he may be rich and powerful. That usually makes it more difficult to be a pure devotee because power and opulence are distractions. But one who is very serious about being Krishna's servant doesn't have to be distracted. He can use these things for Krishna's service. Is there like an echo coming?
Yeah.
Should I just move it further away? The volume is too high. Yeah, I can just move it further away. That's the other verse. spoken by or written by Srila Rupa Goswami, describing appropriate renunciation. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjataha Nirbandat Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. You can live surrounded by objects of sense gratification and have the privilege to enjoy them. You may be the lord of enjoyment. But if you can remain unattached and not unnecessarily indulge in sense gratification, just use as appropriately everything in Krishna's service, then that is what Rupa Goswami calls yuktam vairagyam, appropriate or practical renunciation. Practical renunciation. Although Rupa Goswami wrote this only 450 years ago, Swayambhuva Manu, living hundreds of millions of years ago, is a perfect example of that. He ruled the human race. He is the first king of the earth. And he was an active ruler. He wasn't just a philosopher. Although he wrote the Manu Smriti, he wrote the law book for man. But he played the role of a kshatriya. He actively ruled. And he lived in an opulent palace with his family and his servants. But every day, it's described in the Bhagavatam, he took time in his busy schedule to hear Harikatha. He engaged in Krishna Kirtana, especially by hearing. He let the Brahmin speak and he listened. Whatever sadhana he performed, whether he chanted japa or whatever, we don't know. But his prime sadhana was simply hearing about Krishna's activities and Krishna's glories. That earned him perfection. The Bhagavatam explicitly says that because of that, he went back to Godhead. He achieved the perfection of his life, even in the midst of an opulent life situation. So that's proof that one can succeed despite not being poor. But one should be a kinchana. A kinchana literally means having nothing. Kunti Devi presents the viewpoint. Jagmaishwarya Shruta Shri Bir Edamanamadak Puman Naivar Hatyabidatum Vai Twam Akinchana Gocharam. She prays to Krishna that those who are proud of their birth, their riches, their power, their education, their knowledge of the Vedic scripture, whether they are Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Grihasthas, Sannyasis, but if they're proud, then they're incapable of addressing you with all sincerity. They cannot call out to you helplessly because they think they own something. Namo kinchana vittaya. So obeisances to you who are the property of those who own nothing. A kinchana doesn't mean in that context, in the devotional context, does not mean that you can't own anything. It means that you don't think that it's your property, whatever you have. Everybody has something. Maybe there's some case of someone who doesn't have anything. It's unlikely. Even the beggar has his kopina, his begging bowl, the little bit he gets to eat. That's his. He has some property. Nobody has nothing. Krishna provides something for everybody. But a kinchana means not to identify yourself as the possessor and the enjoyer. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Out of false pride, one thinks oneself to be the doer and the enjoyer of things of this world. But a pure devotee is a kinchana. He doesn't, even if he's the king of the earth, Even if he's fabulously wealthy, he doesn't think himself the proprietor and controller. He understands that Krishna is the proprietor and controller. And therefore he can practice appropriate renunciation. Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, is an excellent example of this. Therefore, although he's just a kshatriya, his daughter, being such an exalted father, he raised a daughter who is fit to become the wife of a very renounced, elevated sage, Kardama, and then to become the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who want to, for some reason or other, want to raise children in this world, they should come to a high spiritual standard themselves. Then they can expect their children to follow in their footsteps. Otherwise, if the parents are lax in their devotional service, don't expect that your children are going to be very advanced. Here's good purpose of household life. If you can have a child, maybe you can't expect realistically to have the Supreme Lord as your son, but at least a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Then, being a householder serves some purpose. It's excusable then, if you can do that. And Manu has done that. He's begotten a great daughter who will beget the Supreme Lord as her son. Therefore, his life is redeemed. What to speak of his own devotional service. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes, ma'am.
So you just mentioned about that if for some reason you want to raise children, then first of all have to become self-elevated, enlightened, and then you can't expect that your children will follow you. But we can see the example of some proper disciple, that the parents of those devotees, advanced devotees, they were not devotees and they just joined Prabhupada and they became
Yes, we have exalted devotees whose parents weren't devotees at all.
Yeah.
You have Prahlad Maharaj is another example of that. Yeah, others like him.
Okay, this is the general statement, but great children, first of all,
our
parents didn't have such a objective.
Krishna can make arrangement for his devotees to come in the world against the normal pattern, and he can have devotees take birth in the family of non-devotees, even of demons. That's abnormal. You cannot expect it. That I'll be like Hiranyakashipu and I'll get a son like Prahlad. You can't expect it. Yeah, that's only a special arrangement. Okay, so it's against the normal order, but Krishna can transcend that order and do what he wants and send his devotees into this world through any means he likes. But don't expect that that's going to happen to you. Then your children will be great even though you're not. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.